Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Q at Speedway Anywhere. blogtalkradio.com/SpeedwayAnywhere. One half of the Twig and Rich Show. I'm sure you can figure out which one I am. Hey, it's been one interesting weekend. We got royalty. We've got royal ass kissings. We got it all going on. A lot to report tonight. We're only going to run about 45 minutes. It's not going to be your normal motorsport and multi-sport hour. It's going to be your motorsport and multi-sport 45 minutes. Obviously, we're heading into one of the biggest weekends in motorsports, if you ask me. And also, we are knocking on Solo Week, the movie Solo, which is kind of funny because that makes it coincidental that I am flying this one solo tonight, but I do have a guest coming in, a first time in studio listener. She said she's going to be the quiet listener. Her name is Christy. She's freshly single. She likes guys who burp beer and guys who spit and scratch like baseball players. Her biggest turnoff are guys who leave the bathroom door open and spend all their time at the gym that don't make money off their muscles. So obviously she likes pro wrestlers. She's in her car right now listening to the podcast on her phone, and I'm probably going to get slapped as soon as she gets here. It's been an awkward day. I left my reading glasses at home, and I'm using a piece of paper towel as a mouse pad. I left a piece of a Caramello. Remember those old things? No one eats them anymore. I left a Caramello right next to my mouse on the mouse pad. The caramel oozed onto the mouse pad. I went to move the mouse, and then I was just like, oh, God. Thank God it's an optical mouse, because if it was the old rollerball type, I wouldn't have a prayer cleaning that one up. Obviously, the big news is the royal wedding, but there's also a lot to get through as far as horses and hats and flowers, and it doesn't just have to do with the royal wedding. Speedway Anywhere has an email here. It's Speedway Anywhere, just as it sounds, at Outlook.com, and you can email anything to me you want to ask. Get me to do some research or ask me what my memories of the good old days of Elko Speedway, the State Fairgrounds, Raceway Park. There ain't much left here. I mean, Elko is even kind of watered down version of its old self, as it's doing all kinds of stunt shows and not featuring a real auto racing series. And the car counts are down. A lot of special events, though. I mean, the ARCA series is going to be coming on July 14th. I'm marking my calendar on that one. That's the weekend following, of course, the World of Outlaws at Cedar Lake Speedway on July 6th and 7th. And that's, you know, going to be a couple of great back-to-back weekends within about, I'll say, hours drive time of each other. I love that. So yeah, email any questions about sports history. I grew up on this. Everyone's like, well, how much research do you have to do? And I'm like, hey, I lived it. It's my baby. It's been my thing. I I'm sure I took a little bit of a hiatus. Another thing to mention, too, was we had that great downtown Grand Prix from 1996, 97, and 98, which obviously fell by the wayside. Funding, logistics, everyone's got a different idea of how it should have went. It was all for charity, and it's a damn shame that it went away. Feel free to call into Speedway Anywhere tonight. I'll be on till about 8:15 p.m. Minnesota time, obviously. And that's at 917-889-2053. Once again, 917-889-2053. Want to give a shout out to the sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, it's Q at Speedway Anywhere, blogtalkradio.com/Speedway Anywhere, otherwise known as Twig from the Twig and Rich Show. As the long winter weighed your trees down to the ground, Twig and Rich and Winnie want to take a few seconds to thank Preferred Tree Service, your all-inclusive tree service company. Even when the trees weren't budding, Jamie was removing snow for us. You can call Jamie at 612-363-1503 or visit preferredtreeservice.com. Once again, 612-363-1503, Preferred Tree Service. So I hope everyone had a chance to check out some of the action this weekend. It all started Friday with the truck series. So first place first. Rain caused the field to be set by points with Johnny Sauter on pole, obviously, as he leads the points. With new sensation Noah Gregson starting on the outside pole. The race did get messed up here and there, just like qualifying for the All-Star Open races. Johnny Sauter ended up winning the race, followed by Kyle Busch, as I like to call him. Brandon Jones came in third, Brett Moffitt, and then Ben Rhodes rounding out the top five. Noah Gregson, you know, he's kind of my favorite in the truck series right now. He led 13 laps and finished on the lead lap in eighth. Like I've mentioned, he's one to keep an eye on. The points now stand at Johnny Sauter in first still, obviously. He won the race. Noah Gregson, Brett Moffitt, Ben Rhodes, and Grant Eppinger. Cup on Saturday. The big one, the All-Star, the million-dollar mess. Qualifying was barely fit in from the rain, but when it was, holy crap. Three-lap qualifying with a mandatory pit stop with no pit speed rule. It's off the hook. I mean, you got to watch this stuff. Pull it up on NASCAR.com. Pull it up on, I believe you can go to Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2, wherever you get your recaps. It's just insane. Matt Kenseth ended up with the fastest time with his Roush teammate, Ricky Stenhouse, in second. Matt, obviously, this is his second weekend back. He was granted into the All-Star race based on the fact that he's a past champion. So that's kind of convenient timing. A lot of strategies played out as it's a non-NASCAR sanctioned race to experiment with. Also, this year's winning his driver, Kevin Harvick, started third with his Stuart Haas teammate, Clint Bowyer, beside him. In fourth, the All-Star Open fields were set by even odd points due to the rain. AJ Allmendinger pulled off a win in the Open. He advanced after winning. And then Chase Elliott won the fan vote. Big surprise there. I kind of thought it might go to Darrell Wallace, Bubba Jr., Alex Bowman, past pole sitter Eric Almirola, on lap 12 and drove away to win stage one, which qualified him for the All-Star race. Daniel Suarez went back and forth, but it was Suarez who won stage two, which advanced him into the All-Star race. Now, lap 35 en route to stage two victory, he barely beat out Elliott. So I'm curious what that would have done to the fan vote. So it was Allmendinger, Bowman, Suarez, and of course Chase Elliott advancing to the All-Star race for a field of 21 cars. I must mention that Suarez finished behind Harvick in second in the main event and almost put on a Michael Waltrip story, like in 1996 when Michael Waltrip advanced from the Open and then won. The number 19 car was previously piloted by Carl Edwards, so it's obviously a coveted ride. It's not like he's driving junk. Harvick is on fire, and that is not going to go out. No getting around it. It may simmer, but those embers still burn. You ever touch a pan that's done cooking and the main course is on the table, but the pan is still hot enough to make another round of main course? That's what Harvick is like. He never goes cold. He's always there in the hunt. If you got him in your rearview mirror, there's a chance you're going to lose. Matter of fact, there's a huge chance that you're going to lose. So, being a non-sanctioned race, obviously the points are still as they were coming out of Kansas. To me, this is still a sixth win for Harvick. He also finished runner-up in his qualifying race at Daytona. And Chase Elliott did win right in front of him in that one too, by the way. But you get paid by position in those races, just like you get paid by position in the All-Star race. So Harvick's got some pretty darn good bonus money going on. So the actual way that the All-Star race went, Harvick won the first stage, highest paying for stage. Kyle Busch won the second, highest paying for the stage. But like mentioned, Harvick took the million for the win. Indy qualifiers. I got to open this up because I didn't get enough notes going on, as that was just yesterday, and this is my first time seeing my computer since then. So we'll open that up and get to the news on that. Indy qualifying for next Sunday. Ed Carpentier won the pole, and the remaining lineup is set. Everybody's favorite, Danica Patrick, is going to start seventh in the third row. Front row is shaped up, obviously, by Ed Carpentier, Simon Pagenaud, and Will Power, the winner of last week's infield race at Indianapolis. Last year's champion, Joseph Newgarden, starts in fourth. Sebastian Bourdais, who's having a great year, starts in fifth. Spencer Peugeot or Piggott, I'm still not sure how to say it, rounds out row two. Like I just mentioned, Danica Patrick, and then Helio, and then Scott Dixon. So Helio's back to running the 500, even though he's not running a full schedule this year. Tony Kanaan, another name I can't pronounce, Matthias Liest, and then Marco Andretti, and Ryan Hunter-Reay. Man, there are a lot of names that I can't pronounce, but Kimball, who is a rookie this year and has the vote of confidence from many in the fields, is kind of mid-pack. He's got a little ways to go to really make things happen. And I wish I could say that I believe that Danica can do this. I don't think so. I think it's going to be a popularity. It's going to be a it's going to be great to see her on the track one last time. Maybe it's her first final last race. You know, you never know. Drivers come back just like bands do when they break up and reunite and that whole nine yards. So I'm going to go ahead and cut the credits, and when we come back, we'll cover a little bit of Pimlico, you know, Preakness Stakes, maybe the royal wedding, some horses and hats and flowers and that kind of stuff. Be right back.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Q at Speedway Anywhere, blogtalkradio.com/Speedway Anywhere, otherwise known as Twig from the Twig and Rich Show. Has the long winter weighed your trees down to the ground? Twig and Rich and Winnie want to take a few seconds to thank Preferred Tree Service, your all-inclusive tree service company. Even when the trees weren't budding, Jamie was removing snow for us. You can call Jamie at 612-363-1503 or visit preferredtreeservice.com. Once again, 612-363-1503, Preferred Tree Service.
So everyone's probably wondering what Taylor Swift is doing on a motorsports show. Well, it's horsepower. There's lots of horses at the wedding. And then, of course, we had Preakness Stakes. And that's about the horses and the flowers and the hats. And it all just ties in. I mean, if you don't believe me, just ask this dude. I mean, he's got this all figured out. Yeah. See, Winnie agrees. When Winnie agrees, you can't fight that. You can't argue with that. That's true Winnie the winner. His opinion matters. Opinion is fact. So I was looking at the whole Triple Crown breakdown, and of course Black Eyed Susan won on Friday. I got that wrong, didn't I? I just said the wrong thing. That was really stupid. I just said the wrong thing. I said Black Eyed Susan won Friday. No, Red Ruby won on Friday. Red Ruby won the Black Eyed Susan. So what Winnie went and did is Winnie decided to take her out to dinner at the Trop. Winnie mistakenly ate beans instead of oats. And then he put the gas in horsepower and Red Ruby left dinner early. I you know, poor guy just can't. Can't help it. The field on Friday for the Black Eyed Susan was rounded out, of course, by Red Ruby in first. And then Coach Rocks. What a name for a filly. I mean, even Indy Union. I like the name Indy because it's Indy, but Indy Union for a female. Red Ruby, I get that. I do. But so break into Preakness on Saturday here. Even though I'm going to welcome Kurt online. And, well, I had him on the line. Just official at Pimlico. I got cold feet on my horseshoes at the betting window. I was all about Justify, even at Kentucky. But I only played nickel slots. I'm not really the betting type. So I still haven't placed my bets. I'm willing to bet at Belmont. It will be time for me to finally put some money down. So it went Justify, Proviso, and Tenfold. A lot of people were thinking Good Magic. Good Magic didn't get the job done, but from what I hear, Good Magic set the pace. So right outside of placing in fourth. So not too bad on Good Magic. I don't think Audible was anywhere in the mix, and that was supposed to be another one that people were keeping their eye on. An interesting point was brought up to me that Justify may be at a challenge on a drier track, and I was told that Belmont is the longest track in that Justify may have not taken the victory had there been another furlong to go at Preakness. So we'll see about that. But I will be at the betting window for that one. I'm going to find some place to do it. Let's take a quick break here, find out what happened to Kurt, and be right back.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Q at Speedway Anywhere, blogtalkradio.com/SpeedwayAnywhere, otherwise known as Twig from the Twig and Rich Show. As the long winter weighed your trees down to the ground, Twig and Rich and Winnie want to take a few seconds to thank Preferred Tree Service, your all-inclusive tree service company. Even when the trees weren't budding, Jamie was removing snow for us. You can call Jamie at 612-363-1503 or visit preferredtreeservice.com. Once again, 612-363-1503, Preferred Tree Service. We got Kurt back. So yeah, we were just talking
problem.
About. Well, it ain't mine. I'm safe in my office. About, I don't know. I'd like to see you catch me. So we were just talking about Winnie's date and talking about Justify. Now, I've heard that Belmont is actually the longest of the Triple Crown tracks. You know anything about that?
Yes, it is.
And there was a mention to me by a friend that don't go getting too excited about Button on Justify because had there been another furlong or so at Preakness, Pimlico, Justify wouldn't have got the victory. Unfortunately, I couldn't get Channel 11 to tune in on my TV, so I didn't see the race. But from a reliable source, Belmont could be his Achilles horse's heel.
Well, anything can happen, but let's not forget, though, the first two, that's happened 12 times since 78, where, you know, so anything can happen here. The weather slowed everyone down, including this competition, though, so, and, you know, and some of them other problems, you know, is there going to be fresher horses out there for them to compete to? And so I'd still put my money on him just because I like to see it happen again. But,
you know, if you're going to lose money, that's a great way to lose it.
Yeah.
If you ask me. I mean, take a chance. By the way, folks, I wanted to mention that I get to razz the Rosie over at K-Fan because he went with Good Magic, who apparently set the pace early in the race. And then he gave me crap for not going for the underdog or anything when I told him, you know what, justifies my pick. So I also have other news along that point. We may be having a certain someone getting a segment on a certain local sports radio network. More to be told on that, but I'm asking that all of you plug the box at booth@kfan.com and say, we want our NASCAR. We want our auto racing. We want NASCAR Quentin. We want Quentin the NASCAR guy. There's tons of hosts over there that got their job not having a degree. They just stumbled into it by just happening to know a few things about some things. I mean, there was a bowling show on there. Rich from the Twig and Rich show that we do on Thursdays. Like he mentioned on show, they did a sports souvenir show that the phone calls were lined up and backed up and they had to kick them off the air at the end of the hour, that kind of thing. We can get our auto racing, our motorsports, our NASCAR, our freaking, I'll even bring Winnie into the office over there. That would be great. I'm not sure they'd let me, but that'd be pretty cool. So yeah, plug the boxes, booth@kfan.com, or go straight for Greg Swedberg's inbox. That would be the best. He's at iHeart Clear Channel, something like that. I'll get you the address by the email address by, oh, when are we on next? Thursday with Rich. Not sure what time. It'll be 7 or 8 o'clock. I am just rambling like an idiot, ain't I? Thank you. Twins, you're all I got for multi-sports, Kurt. And actually, your knowledge is tenfold over mine. Wins and loss versus the Cards. After a Mariner makeup game loss that almost became another makeup game. Lost to the Brewers Friday and again on Saturday and then finally pulled off a win yesterday. I mean, what gives? What's with the Twins and teams like the Brewers that do better on the road nowadays?
They returned home, and now they're right back to where they were last year, except that record where they have a losing record at home. most of the season, and they returned home. That's the only thing I can pinpoint on. And, of course, other than the Yankees, you know, Cards are such a hot team, and maybe that has something to do with it.
You know, and they talk about how when you come off a long road streak, supposedly you're tired. Everybody wants to coddle these guys. These guys spend a ton of time working out, staying conditioned. I would think they're good for it. You know, to come back home, be in the luxury of their own recliner, and yeah, just that comfort. I don't take the excuse that they're tired from a road trip. I don't know. You go ahead.
No, I couldn't tell you just from the fact that, you know, they get hot and then look what happens. I don't know if that has something to do with it. They just do not stay hot.
Oh, I hate it when I cough when I'm on air. The injuries are horrendous right now, too.
Just, yeah, that they are.
You don't know. Into the first inning, you don't know how to plan for the next inning. It's not like somebody goes out the night before, so you know he's not going to be on the roster. No, you don't know if he's going to be on the roster after the first inning.
Nope.
So,
well, too, I got to admit, it's been a while since Joe Mauer's been on the DL, which is kind of weird to hear people, well, yeah, that used to happen all the time, and find it a little ironic, though, on how quickly he started out the season, and now he's been cold, and he gets hurt, though. But I'll say it right now, you have not heard about him just showing up on the DL for a while, which I think this has to be a record for him.
Yeah, true. Now, what was the news? Mauer maybe approaching that retirement path? I caught something about that on the Fan, but...
Well, it's contract year.
Oh, that's what that was about. Yep. Yeah, it was kind of... I mean, the... what was the nickname for him and Murnau?
Oh, the M&M boys. No, I think that's... Well, that's what they called Marion.
Bash Brothers, something.
That was Canseco and McGuire in Oakland.
Okay. Yeah, they pretty much had Morneau and Mauer as, well, the true twins, you know, almost as much as Vinny and Paul.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's see, how are we doing here? We're doing good for time. The Lynx. Win and loss in preseason.
0-1. 0-1. They lost their first game by a point.
And, you know, and I'm used to the tight games like that when they hit the championship.
Right.
But this was kind of like, what? So all the naysayers about Lindsay taking on the coaching responsibilities and the recruiting and everything, I don't want to. I need the Lynx to win. I need Lindsay to perform. Otherwise, we're going to spend the entire week on every sports channel, on every, be it radio or TV, talking about, can Lindsay handle this? Well, I think she can, so... I'm not jumping on that bandwagon that this is going to be too much on her. Obviously, they won and lost in preseason. And then, let's see. What's the schedule? Oh, yeah, they're playing again here, too, Wednesday against the Dallas Wings. So, hopefully, you know, people are just like me. They're a fair weather fan on a lot of the stick and ball sports. And if the Lynx win on Wednesday, I'm going to be happy because everyone's going to shut up about Lindsay's capabilities of performing. There's a lot of great players on that team, too. It's not, you know, there's no I in Lynx. And there's no, you know, it.
Yeah, there's no we in team either.
Well, the team's got to go wee once in a while, but yeah. Two different types. Wee! I got to take a wee. So.
Wee, wee, wee.
Ah, what's my plans here? I skipped over some stuff to save it for you. What's your take on the comparison between the horse racing and the hats and the flowers, and then the royal wedding and the horses and the hats and the flowers?
Well, I'll say right now, the royal wedding's got a more attractive lady involved.
I got something set up for you on Final Labs for that. It'll be fun.
And you know, and of course, yeah, I don't get it at Churchill Downs, the deal with the hats. The royal wedding, I get that, but yeah. And of course I watch Kentucky Derby for other things, and not much leather though at Churchill Downs except for on the horses, which is a good thing.
Here's one thing that bugs the heck out of me as far as, you know, when you watch these Triple Crown races and then nobody ever pays any attention to the other race. How was anyone to know that Justified was undefeated so far this year? None of those races were even televised.
Well, no. No, I mean, it is still... Yeah, I mean, well, don't forget how many horse tracks there are, though, around the country. And I don't, you know, and I'm not sure if a guy like Baffert, if he's automatically, you know, if he just drops his name and then a horse that he trained just gets into the bigger races or... Yeah, I'm not sure on how all that works. I'm sure there has to be a system, though.
And the turf racers. How is anyone supposed to know what that's all about? You got Murad that kicked ass at... Oh, I swore again. There goes my syndicated show on KTIS. But... You know, the turf racers, who's to understand all that? I just saw a name. It was Murad, you know, as I mentioned in another show. And I'm like, ooh, I'd put my money on that. And sure enough, he won. That was awesome. But how the Triple Crown came to become, and I'm going to have to do some research on this. And let's pop back across the pond here. Now, what country plays cricket? Which one plays polo? What one plays rugby? Which one plays... Do you know anything about any of that?
Well, that would be Britain, India, Pakistan, Australia. Part of the British Crown.
I'm glad I got you on this show because I am so clueless about it all, but... When I think of Prince Charles, I remember him playing something with a pole on a horse, and there's more horse talk. So, yeah, it's just been a horse kind of weekend. Hey, we're going to give Jamie one more shout-out, and then I think we're going to go to Final Laps.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, it's Q at Speedway Anywhere, blogtalkradio.com/Speedway Anywhere, otherwise known as Twig from the Twig and Rich Show. As the long winter weighed your trees down to the ground, Twig and Rich and Winnie want to take a few seconds to thank Preferred Tree Service, your all-inclusive tree service company. Even when the trees weren't budding, Jamie was removing snow for us. You can call Jamie at 612-363-1503 or visit preferredtreeservice.com. Once again,
okay, sorry, Taylor. I don't have time to squeeze your song in here. We're coming down to the final minutes, but I have learned how to manipulate how this system works in case I go over time. To anyone listening, I got to tell you, I forgot my reading glasses tonight, so I'm doing pretty freaking good. NHRA was at Topeka. I know that Leah Pritchett took top field. I know that Courtney Force took funny car, and I don't have the rest of the results in front of me in a big enough font so I can actually see them without glasses, so we're just going to have to recap NHRA. One thing I do know is that they will be taking next weekend off due to the fact that it's the biggest day in auto sports, with the Indy 500 Sunday morning, the Coca-Cola 600 Sunday night, of course, everyone laying back on Memorial Day. I want to do some primetime racing again on Monday nights, but more of that in just a second. Busch Series will be racing on Saturday at Charlotte. The ARCA Series will also be doing an event Friday at Charlotte. ARCA Series will be coming to Elko Speedway July 14th. I'm really looking forward to that. Hopefully I'm going to get out to see the World of Outlaws July 6th and 7th as well, when, you know, NASCAR's doing their Firecracker 400 restrictor plate. Who cares? So let's find my final.
Speaking of Charlotte, you got to give Princess Charlotte a shout out at her uncle's wedding. She was in
Princess
a good mood.
Charlotte.
That's
okay. While we're at
Willie
it,
that's Willie's daughter.
While we're at it, let's give Good Charlotte a shout out. They had some good music.
Yeah,
well, that's good for Charlotte.
I guess so.
All right. I seriously, you know how late I slept today, and I forgot my reading glasses. I'm totally unprepared. My five laps to go was, I think I came up with something decent. All right, $500, five to go question. What's the name of the monkey Tim Flock raced with in his car?
Oh, I have no clue. The only thing I could probably tell you is Clyde from Every Which Way But Loose.
It was Jocko Flocko.
Only...
I remember that one, too.
Okay.
Four to go. Who revived the Foley Jeweled 300 for Tim Flock, by the way, paint scheme, in 1998 when Tim was passing away?
Well, given a product placement here, was it DuPont Auto Finishes?
No, it was Darrell Waltrip, because his sponsor for that year ditched him or didn't make payment or something to that effect. So during qualifying, he put the Foley Jeweled 300 on the side of the car in honor of Tim Flock.
I think I remember that.
Yep, NASCAR made him change it back to the number 17, so he drove a Foley Jeweled 17. It was really cool, and then Tim Flock got to see that from his hospital room, his hospice room, and it was a nice tribute. It really was.
Cool.
Three laps to go. Diane, Kate, or Megan?
Ooh, I'm going to take Megan by far. I'm just just cool little story there too. Nothing against Kay.
I think she's got them all beat, hands down.
I'll always take Princess Victoria, though, from Sweden.
All right, two to go. Would I be right if I was thinking you wanted to say Victoria?
Oh, God, yeah.
I had that one all prepared. See what, stupid? I love it when I'm, like, stressed and just in that final moment. How am I going to come up with the next? So, Morist. See, I said Morist because of the name I'm about to say. Final lap. What was the most ridiculous moment in auto racing? Morrissey hitting the pace car in 1999 or Montoya hitting the jet dryer in 2013 during primetime Daytona 500 on a Monday night?
I gotta say, Morrissey, just, you know, too bad he didn't have skis on him because he would have been the new Agony of Defeat guy.
All right, so let's do some victory lane then. Home run celebration. Do you think the players really need to run around the bases? If they can just throw a force signal up to walk a guy, why should the players have to run the bases?
Well, I had heard somebody last week just say that thing, though, about the intentional walk. They should actually have pinch runners on. Just so that way the pitcher might not want to intentionally walk someone.
Yeah, here's what my thoughts were on this. I was thinking, okay, they shouldn't have to run the bases. And by the way, you know how, like, when Alan Kulwicki, let's tie this back to NASCAR, damn it, it's a motorsports show. Now, when Alan Kulwicki did the reverse Polish lap, and then all the drivers are doing that kind of thing, wouldn't it be fun if a guy had the option to run the bases, or he could run the bases the opposite direction? I mean, he should be able to choose how he celebrates his home run, especially on, you know, Grand Slam. I'm not saying that MLB should have to let him lick the pitcher, but a reverse lap around the bases wouldn't be unreasonable, would it?
I'm sure somebody's did that.
All right. So, hey, great show again, Kurt.
All right.
We'll be back Thursday for the Twig and Rich show. Rich will be with us. Hopefully Kurt will too. We'll be leading up to, obviously, like I mentioned, the biggest day in auto racing. Screw the Daytona 500. The Brickyard 400 is pretty cool, too. But, no, that back-to-back, that Indy 500, that Coca-Cola 600, and Matt Kenseth back on the track. So we got more veterans in the fields than rookies. I think it's about 50-50.
And all the beer.
And the beer. It's all about the beer. You can even bring beer with you into a NASCAR race, unlike a stick and ball sport, multi-sport event.
Don't do this a lot, though. That Monday, it's still a cool day, and just don't forget people.
All right, Kurt.
All right. Bye, Taylor.